The Night We Lost Him is a masterful exploration of family secrets, love, and the complex ways we compartmentalize our lives. Laura Dave's novel has captivated readers since its release, earning praise from Reese Witherspoon, who selected it for her book club, calling it a gripping mystery that will keep you guessing until the very last page. The book's examination of complicated family dynamics resonated with millions, spending over 40 weeks on bestseller lists and drawing comparisons to Delia Owens' Where the Crawdads Sing for its atmospheric setting and emotional depth. Dave's reputation for crafting suspenseful domestic dramas with heart continues to grow, with Netflix already securing rights for a film adaptation starring Jessica Chastain. What makes this story so compelling is how it explores a universal question: can we ever truly know the people we love most? Liam Samuel Noon stands at the edge of his cliffside property in Carpinteria, California, contemplating the choices that led him here. Despite his wealth, he never replaced the modest craftsman bungalow called Windbreak with something grander, partly out of concern for his children's safety near the bluffs. As he reflects on his life with regret, seeing Windbreak not as the escape he intended, but as a time capsule of his failures, he's suddenly pushed over the cliff's edge. His final thought is surprisingly selfless: better me than them. Months later, Liam's daughter Nora, an architect specializing in neuroarchitecture, meets with a client named Morgan to discuss renovating a Brooklyn brownstone. When Morgan's fiancé arrives, Nora is shocked to discover he's Sam, her estranged half-brother from their father's second marriage. As Nora attempts to leave, refusing to discuss their father's estate, Sam delivers a bombshell: their father's fatal fall wasn't an accident. Sam reveals that their father had discussed succession plans just 8 days before his death, which fuels his suspicions. He explains that Liam had been acting weird, distracted, and absent before his death, and questions whether their father would really forget where the cliff rock started at Windbreak, a place he knew intimately. Sam asks Nora to accompany him to Windbreak the next day to investigate, revealing that their father left the property to her in his will. This revelation stirs painful memories for Nora. Her father had invited her to visit Windbreak to give renovation advice, but she had declined out of anger. She had become estranged from him after her mother's sudden death a year earlier, pushing him away despite his attempts to take a more active role in her life. Now, with both parents gone, she regrets the distance she maintained, wondering, what good is knowing that you were wrong when there is no one left to hear you say that you're sorry? After leaving Sam, Nora heads to Sheet Music, her favorite local restaurant in Brooklyn's Ditmas Park neighborhood. The restaurant, a former guitar shop, features wood-fired pizza in a space Nora herself designed. The chef is her fiancé, Jack, whose presence immediately calms her after the unsettling conversation with Sam. Nora reflects on her history with Jack, which began 25 years ago in 8th grade woodshop class. They reconnected decades later when Nora was on a date with someone else who happened to take her to meet the chef, Jack. When Nora tells Jack about Sam's suspicions regarding their father's death, he offers to accompany her to California, but she keeps him at a distance, a pattern since her father died. Despite her reservations, Nora agrees to go with Sam to Windbreak. At the airport, she brings documents revealing that her father had commissioned plans from two different architects to expand Windbreak over the years. The first set would have replaced the original house with an ostentatious Mediterranean palace, while the second set, from less than a year ago, were more modest and elegant, updating the bungalow, pitching ceilings, and expanding the kitchen. Nora wonders what motivated her father's recent interest in renovating. Upon arriving at Windbreak, they meet Detective O'Brien, who insists the investigation is straightforward. When questioned about security measures, O'Brien reveals there are no perimeter cameras, except for one at the front gate, unusual for a property of this size. Most troublingly, of the three witnesses who found their father's body, a house-sitting couple walking their dog, and an unidentified jogger, the jogger left before police arrived and was never interviewed. As Nora explores Windbreak, she's overwhelmed by familiar scents—sage, coconut soap, sandalwood—that trigger memories. The bookshelves contain unexpected playbills suggesting her father enjoyed theater, plus family photos with all three of his families. Nora reflects on her parents' history, how they met when her mother was singing at the Hayes Hotel where her father was overseeing renovations. Though not romantic in later years, they maintained a close relationship even after separating. While examining dusty family photographs in Windbreak's study, Nora is startled by Clark, the property's longtime caretaker, his weathered face appearing suddenly in the doorway. When she carefully broaches the subject of her father's final night, asking if someone else might have been with him, Clark's normally steady demeanor wavers. He acknowledges it's possible, explaining that beyond the imposing front gate, the sprawling property has numerous lesser-known access points, old service roads, hiking trails, and even a partially hidden beach entrance. Though Clark's hesitation and shifting gaze suggests he's holding something back, Sam bursts in before Nora can probe deeper, clutching a worn manila envelope containing revealing documents about the mysterious Salinger Group. Following this lead, Sam and Nora make their way to their Uncle Joe's impressive Spanish hacienda nestled in the exclusive Hope Ranch community. The property's manicured gardens and Mediterranean architecture present a stark contrast to Windbreak's rustic charm. Despite Nora's repeated warnings to approach the situation diplomatically, Sam launches into an immediate confrontation about the Salinger Group documents. Uncle Joe, their father's cousin and longtime business partner, maintains his composure while explaining that their father had seriously considered selling to C.C. Salinger, but ultimately backed away from the deal. When they press him about their father's increasingly erratic behavior in his final months, Joe's carefully measured response about not wanting to excavate the past feels rehearsed. His visible discomfort and slight tremor in his hands when discussing Cece hints at complicated history left unspoken. Departing Hope Ranch, Sam dissects Uncle Joe's suspicious behavior, his careful word choice, defensive posture, and obvious relief when they left. Their discussion is interrupted when Sam receives an unexpected text revealing that Cece isn't in Los Angeles as claimed, but is willing to meet them in Santa Ynez. They immediately redirect their journey, navigating the winding roads through wine country. Upon arriving at Cece's impressive ranch house, a modern interpretation of California ranch architecture, they're informed she's canceled due to a vague family situation. Refusing to accept another dead end, they successfully track Cece to Bell's Restaurant, a local institution in downtown Los Alamos. Cornered in the restaurant's dimly lit back booth, Cece reluctantly engages with them. She reveals her familiarity with Nora's architectural work, noting she had actually wanted to commission Nora for a project before their father mysteriously intervened, put the kibosh on all that, as she phrases it. Cece's subsequent revelations paint a complex picture. She grew up mere miles from their father, shared classes with him throughout school, and maintains a close relationship with Uncle Joe that spans decades. The siblings learned that Cece had been in extensive negotiations to purchase Windbreak, though these discussions happened primarily through Uncle Joe rather than their father, before the deal abruptly collapsed without explanation. Most disturbing is Cece's final disclosure. Their father had called her twice on the night of his death, both calls going to voicemail, leaving no messages, only silence. After meeting with Cece, Sam insists she's hiding something, despite her seemingly genuine concern. As Nora drives them away, she considers why their father would have called Cece twice without leaving messages, likely for personal reasons rather than business ones. While Sam remains suspicious of Cece's agenda, Nora wonders if their father might have taken his own life, given his unusual behavior and finalized will. But they both quickly dismiss this possibility, knowing their father was a problem solver who wouldn't give up easily. Back at the ranch hotel, Nora and Sam settle into their cottage. Unable to sleep, Nora explores the property and meets Carmen, the night receptionist, who shares stories about her father, how he played cards with Carmen and once generously gave her 9 months of paid leave when his wife had a difficult pregnancy with twins. While looking at photos, Nora has a realization. Her father's phone wasn't listed among his recovered possessions in the police report. Flying back from California, Nora and Sam formulate a plan to investigate their father's death. They examine his will, police report, and Sam's access to company files, discovering that while Sam can access shared calendars, they need more complete information from their father's personal devices. They learn that his phone wasn't found at Windbreak, and his laptop should be at the office, though Jonathan, the company's general counsel, has placed a new lock on their father's office door. At Nooney Properties headquarters in the architecturally significant Star at Lehigh building, Sam and Nora search their father's intact office. The IT guy, Nate, delivers troubling news. Their father's phone last pinged in Santa Barbara 18 days ago, nearly 2 weeks after his death, and his laptop is missing. More suspiciously, Liam had specifically disabled cloud backups and external file sharing for his devices, along with those belonging to Uncle Joe, the general counsel, and Grace, another company executive who had recently died. After confirming with Grace's former assistant, Terry, that all Grace's belongings were sent to her Brooklyn apartment, Sam and Nora head there seeking access to potentially connected files. At Grace's Brooklyn Heights apartment, they're surprised to discover her husband is the renowned photographer Paul Turner. Despite their requests to see Grace's work laptop that might contain their father's personal data, Paul is reluctant to help. He reveals he sent most of Grace's work items to Joe at his request and leaves them with a troubling statement that Grace had warned him not to trust his kids. Continuing her investigation, Nora receives a call from Meredith Cooper, the EMT who found her father. Despite poor reception from Tuscany, Meredith shares that the mysterious jogger was tall, Caucasian, and oddly dressed in cargo pants and a sweatshirt, unusual jogging attire. She confirms she'd never seen him before despite walking her dog at the same time most evenings. Meredith also reveals she doesn't recall seeing Liam's cell phone when she tried to help him. Traveling to the Hudson Valley with Sam, Nora emails forensic pathologists about her father's case. At the Acres, they meet their brother Tommy, who reveals he discovered their father was planning to sell to Cece after overhearing a conversation between a lawyer and Uncle Joe. Tommy shows them a Forbes magazine featuring Cece, where she mentions having a current partner described as an old friend. The photographer for the profile was Paul Turner, which is why Tommy approached him. Paul suggested that if Cece was involved with someone at the company, it wasn't their father, leading Tommy to suspect Uncle Joe might be romantically involved with Cece. As they drive through worsening snow, Nora tries to comfort Sam about their grief. Sam eventually opens up, sharing that their father once told him people only get so many chances to fix what they get wrong, a rare piece of personal advice that surprised both siblings. Returning home late, Nora finds Jack already in bed with the light off, though she knows he's awake. She recognizes her failure to cross the divide between them, reflecting that beginnings and endings share the same DNA. They are the two things we all try to fix. That night, she dreams of her father with an unfamiliar beard, standing with her at Windbreak's cliff as water rises around them. He warns her, "Too close, that was too close." And when she expresses relief at not missing him, he responds, "Almost, Nora knew. You almost missed me," adding, "Don't miss this, too." In the morning, Nora finds Jack in the kitchen. When Jack mentions Austin's recital, Nora defensively insists it's about supporting Austin, not seeing Elliot, her former boyfriend with whom she maintains a connection through his son. Jack then reveals he's accepted a position helping his culinary school friend at her Michelin-starred restaurant in California during her maternity leave. Jack gently asks what Nora wants, promising he wants her to have it. Though she wants time, time she can't have with her parents again, time when loving Jack felt lighter without the primal fear of loss, Jack explains he needs her to want him, not just not want him to leave. After Jack leaves for work, Nora sits alone among their photographs, contemplating how to fix their relationship. Her thoughts are interrupted by a call from Dr. Susan Clifton, a forensic pathologist she contacted. Dr. Clifton explains that while investigators correctly ruled out suicide, their conclusion of no foul play seems premature. The fall pattern suggests a push rather than an accident, and a large cheek contusion indicates a possible altercation. After Austin's recital, Nora declines Elliot's invitation for coffee, realizing she must end their dance of attraction. Sitting together, they have a moment of honesty where Nora acknowledges she's been drawn to Elliot partly because he knew the best of her father. Elliot reveals her father was heartbroken about their distance, but understood Nora's loyalty to her mother. When she asks who her father blamed, Elliot admits, at the end of the day, just himself. Nora visits her father's childhood home in Midwood, reflecting on how he was eager to leave the neighborhood despite his fondness for it. In the closet of his old bedroom, Nora discovers height markings and, most significantly, a carved inscription, Corey and Liam, between two hearts. The current resident mentions that someone resembling Nora's father had visited about 6 months earlier with a woman. Avoiding her empty house and uncertain if Jack will return, Nora takes a cab to her father's apartment. The doorman lets her in, and she finds the place feeling empty and impersonal, with no family photographs or personal mementos. Her father's third wife, Inez, unexpectedly arrives to stay the night. As they share whiskey, Nora notices how bare the apartment feels and learns her father had been spending most of his time at Windbreak. After being ignored by Sam, Nora runs to his loft where she finds him and Morgan dressed for a fundraiser. When they're alone, Nora insists they need to return to Windbreak, explaining that their father's apartment contained nothing personal, while his childhood home in Midwood and Windbreak held his true essence. But Sam shockingly backtracks, claiming he was wrong and nothing happened on the cliff. He admits he couldn't sleep after their conversation and needs to stop pursuing this because it's pulling his life apart. Determined to find answers on her own, Nora returns to Windbreak. Walking the beach, she retraces the possible paths from the night of her father's death, trying to reconstruct what happened. She's interrupted by Ben King, her father's college friend, who first introduced him to Pottero Lane. A quick search confirms Davidson Salinger, Cece's ex-husband, lives just 5 minutes away, and both he and Cece attended Yale with her father. Returning to the house, Nora frantically searches through her father's old yearbooks and photo albums until she finds a group photograph showing her father, Uncle Joe, and a young Cece Kane leaning toward her father. Watching the sunset from Windbreak's back porch, Nora receives a call from Cece, who got her location from Uncle Joe. Before Clark leaves for the day, Nora shows him the group photograph with her father and Cece, asking if they spent time together at Windbreak. Though Clark initially says her father was usually alone there, he eventually reveals that one woman named Corey visited several times. This revelation startles Nora, who remembers seeing Corey and Liam etched in the closet of her father's childhood home. After falling asleep on the floor surrounded by photo albums, Nora wakes freezing in the middle of the night. While returning items to the shelf, she discovers a literary journal from Midwood High School. Though she doesn't find her father's name in it, she notices two pieces by someone named Cordelia Ryan. Under one story titled The Children Go, there's a handwritten note. LSN, in case I don't say it later, they're all for you. When Nora finds Cordelia G. Ryan listed as editor-in-chief with a small photo, she makes a shocking discovery. Cordelia is Grace, a woman who's been part of their lives for decades. Memories flood back to Nora as she realizes Grace, Corey, has been a constant presence throughout her life. At school plays when she was 8, picnicking in Central Park when she was 12, at her father's office, and even after her mother's death. She recalls moments that now take on new meaning. Her mother telling Grace, "I love you," her father whispering, "There you are," to Grace, and seeing them walking together in Midtown with her father's hand on Grace's hip. Sam appears behind her, having flown in early, saying, "No one should have to be here alone." When Nora tells him it's Grace, referring to the mystery they've been trying to solve, Sam asks what she means. Nora and Sam confront Uncle Joe at the Noon Properties West Coast office with their discovery about Grace. Joe confirms that their father and Grace were involved for decades, not just briefly, and that the company was always meant to go to her. Joe explains that after dating Grace briefly himself in high school, she and their father became inseparable professionally and personally. When Grace died 8 months ago, their father couldn't bear running the company without her, which is why he initially wanted to sell to Cece. With sudden clarity, Nora connects all the pieces and declares to Sam, "I know who was there that night, the night their father died." Upon landing in New York, Nora and Sam go straight to Paul's apartment. When Paul opens the door, Nora confronts him immediately. "We know it was you on the cliff that night." Though initially confused, Paul's shaking hand betrays him, and he invites them in. He begins explaining his history with Grace from their graduate school days through their marriage, acknowledging she always had a complicated relationship with their father. Though they were separated at the end of her life, Paul was fulfilling Grace's wish to scatter her ashes at Windbreak when he encountered their father there unexpectedly. During their argument, their father's admission that he couldn't figure out how to be without Grace broke something in Paul. "I pushed him," Paul confesses through tears. "But I didn't mean to push him over the edge. I didn't mean to kill him." Paul fled the scene when EMTs confirmed their father was dead, thinking of his pregnant daughter. Sam and Nora walk through Brooklyn Heights in stunned silence after leaving Paul's apartment. Standing at the promenade overlooking the East River, they process their grief. "I just miss him," Sam admits, wondering if it will get easier. They reflect on Paul's relationship with Grace, how he walked into it knowing where he stood, but loved her anyway. This leads them to contemplate their own barriers to love, how they're up against themselves, their heartbreak, their pasts. Sam realizes he won't be moving to Brooklyn after all, silently acknowledging he needs to make different choices about his career, engagement, and life direction. Months later, Nora dines alone at a beautiful 2-star Michelin restaurant housed in a small shingled building surrounded by gardens and beehives. After enjoying a perfect 4-course meal, she asks to speak to the chef. In the stunning Nordic-designed kitchen, she finds Jack, now sporting a beard. She explains she's been at Windbreak, working on projects in Santa Barbara and Ventura, including fixing up a house for her brother. Then she admits the truth. "Better than being home without you." After 8 hours of driving and 4 courses of dinner, she keeps it simple. "I was just wondering if, after work tonight, you'd like to go and get some ice cream." With his forehead against hers, he says, "Then that sounds nice. That sounds perfect." Through the novel's exploration of family secrets, complex relationships, and the ways we compartmentalize our lives, Laura Dave delivers a profound meditation on love, loyalty, and the courage to face difficult truths. The Night We Lost Him reminds us that sometimes the most important discoveries come not from uncovering other secrets, but from confronting our own hearts.